Welcome back, 8:15 on the Sens Game Day Friday. How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the show. JR Simmer and Hammer with you until 10 o'clock. We got some World Cup soccer coming up then. Another game this afternoon. Final day of the group stage games, and we get into the nuts and bolts starting tomorrow. Squeezed in between all that, the boys from In the Box will be by at noon, and then a one-hour drive show this afternoon at 4 before the pregame show tonight at 5 of Sens and Rangers, a rare Friday Sens game, back half of the back-to-back, or home and away, I guess, with the Rangers coming up tonight from MSG, and then they're right back at it for the first of the back-to-back games tomorrow night with San Jose coming here on tomorrow night. So looking forward to a couple of Sens games, and you're batching it this weekend, Simmer, so you're all about it.
Just binging on the hockey, JR, yeah. And hey, tonight will start 2nd to the 23rd, 12 games in 21 days by my calculation. A lot of ice hockey.
All right. Our next guest joins us now. That would be Dave Poulin, our TSN Hockey Insider. As always, a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. How are you doing this morning, Dave?
Very well, gentlemen. It's a beautiful sunny morning in Philadelphia. Not for the Flyers, it's not, but I was part of it last night. So I saw Steven Stamkos' 1,000th point, which was pretty special. Saw how well Nick Paul was playing, which was pretty good as well. He got a couple goals, but just a reminder, and I thought this before the season started because it's a team that I picked to contend. Tampa Bay's not done yet, guys, and they're still a pretty good hockey club, without a question.
How well is Nick Paul playing? He's got 11 goals and 18 points now.
Really well. Killing penalties is a force, like a force. And it always, you know, it always, we're watching this player develop in Ottawa, and I think it's in pretty much agreement that that trip to the World Championships, when he and Connor Brown went over and excelled over there, really accelerated his game to a different level. And people waited a long time for Nick Paul, Ottawa included. But he's in a perfect situation down there. And then with Anthony Cirelli hurt, his role is elevated. So I think when Cirelli comes back, you know, there's a little bit more of a shared responsibility. But, you know, the pieces for them are still there. The main pieces, when you watch Vasilevsky and Netton, and I was actually there as part of an 80s night for the Flyers. And so I was with some different guys who, you know, scout for different teams. And I, it was an interesting night because I've been working on something over the last week or so where I'm talking to scouts from different teams about who they think the best young team is in the NHL. Who's coming next? Like, who's going to be the next guy? And some of it centered around Tampa Bay last night and whether they were done or not. But, you know, the way he's playing and the role he fits, they talked a lot about roles, the guys did. And I love talking to scouts, guys, when they've got no investment in the game. When they don't have a team there, they'll be so objective. And they're so objective about other teams. Now, they're not always as objective about their own team because that's human nature. But some of them are. And they have a weird role. They go and they watch a hockey game. And they don't have any skin in the game. They don't, you know, it doesn't matter to them who wins and loses. Many of them will not know the score when they're watching the game, and they won't know some of the general play. They'll be watching specifically, you know, number 8 on the blue team or whatever it may be. But it's an interesting perspective on a broad nature because they're challenged with the same things that management is, but it's from a very different perspective.
All right, you've piqued our curiosity now as you're doing this survey
best young team around the NHL.
This is for a column in your column in the Star.
It's not for my column this week. No, okay. My column this week is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be based on heroes that turn into your peers that turn into your heroes again. And, you know, it's sort of based on Sittler and Salming for me,
right?
Two guys I watched growing up. And so, but then you get to play with them and they're your peers and you're with them. And then, you know, as you know, you get to the next stage of life, they become your heroes again. So that's what I'm working on. But the other one I'm working on for two reasons, guys. I'm working on for my own interest in the teams that I cover principally, and two of those seen as rising teams in Ottawa and Montreal, and teams that I've seen this year, Jersey and Detroit and Buffalo. And so there is a lot of really popular sentiment for Ottawa, guys. And it's very interesting because one veteran scout, and he said to me, you know what Ottawa has? They have players that are going to win in the playoffs. And he said, I know they're worried about getting to the playoffs, but they're players. Yeah. And the first thing he mentioned was Josh Norris, which I thought was interesting. He said, they got some guys. He said, you'd not want to see Brady Tkachuk in a playoff series. You'd not want to see those guys in a playoff series. And we talked about the D, and we talked about the, you know, the acknowledged weakness in the D. They love Jake Sanderson and Shane Pinto, by the way. And that's not, I mean, that's not a revelation for any part. But when you're talking, it's so hard when you're in the market and watching and you're not getting the results you want. And you almost need affirmation that you're doing the right things. And so, you know, I don't work for the organizations, and I work for a neutral party, but I see them a lot. And so it was pretty interesting on the, particularly the forward group that's been put together in Ottawa. And then I get asked the question, well, you see them play more than we do. What's going wrong? and I say, well, I'm not that smart. If I were that smart, I'd be scouting.
And to that, Pooley, how much does Ottawa miss Paul and Brown?
Quite a bit right now, you know, but that's, as you go through transition, Simmer, you have to make a decision on a certain age and a certain type of player and who the next player is going to be in that role and if they're going to be better and what the price point is. So that's the decision that was made with those guys, right? You're giving Timmy Stützle an expanded role at a younger age. And how is that going to benefit him? Because really what you're building for, if you were building for wins this year and everything revolved around this year, this team would look a little bit different. And you know, they went with the youth group that they thought had the most upside. And I think that's the right move, but it doesn't give you the results you want on the curve you want.
Well,
go ahead.
But, well, it doesn't really, though, because you're now replacing them with Mott and Joseph. And I would ask you for the next 4 years, because I don't believe I know Nick Paul wasn't asking for a 7-year deal.
Right.
Quite simply,
right.
Is it been a mistake cashing out Paul for especially after everything he went through and the leadership that he brought? And let's be honest, Joseph has not been very good.
Yeah, the Nick Paul one's a little bit different for me. And, you know, and I think that deal should have been done at the price point it was at. Because I think we all, you know, if we were getting the correct information, it was a very cap-friendly deal at the time. And yet Nick Paul, boy, he has just continued to emerge, guys, you know, and he's a little bit older, but boy, oh boy, and that curve keeps getting better. That'd be one I would like to revisit.
Yeah.
If I were in the group, I would, for sure.
Good or bad that Ottawa gets another game against the Rangers after being beaten? I mean, you know, Wednesday's game was a pretty, I don't know how to describe it. It was kind of just a ho-hum game. It wasn't terrible. Certainly wasn't great. It was kind of ho-hum. So good that they're playing them again, or would you like to, if you're Ottawa, see some new faces tonight?
No, I'd like to see them again. You know, the way this, we looked at the way this schedule broke out, and those two against the Rangers, they were the first piece of the schedule. It's a little home and home. You know, a little, this is going to be what playoff hockey looks like. You're going to see a team a couple times in a row, and you're going to see them in your building and our building, and you're going to go back and forth. And by the way, you should be really annoyed after that game, because the goals, you look at the goals and each individual play, it's a play in front of the net. I mean, Gaudreau beats Brännström on that one. Physically, he's bigger. He gets right over the top of him. He deflects the puck in the net. Communication issue between Stützle, which Stützle made it clear to everybody there was a communication issue, including, you know, Artem Zub. And by the way, if I'm Artem Zub or I'm another veteran on that team, I'm grabbing Timmy Stützle and I'm saying that's not the way you talk about a goal. You're simply not. And, you know, he's showing his frustration. And yet there was clearly a communication breakdown. I thought Zub was getting the flare out guy. And I thought the guy that scored, Kreider, was Stützle's guy. You know, that's the way it broke down for me. And so, but you're taking a young player and you're saying, look, we want you to be upset when you get scored on. We don't want you to show up a teammate ever.
I when I see that, Pooley, and you hear people talk about it and not get it, I just say, hey, if you don't get it, you don't get it. Like, if you don't understand right there, that's not frustration. That's making somebody else look really bad. And I love the fact that you kind of broke down the play. To that, from the perspective of, I guess this is from a coaching staff, this is when you expect a pushback, right? Because I do understand after the road trip, and it is a bit of a letdown Wednesday night against the Rangers. But, as you said, got an opportunity to regroup. And as you start a real busy stretch here, as I said, 12 games in the next 21 days, I would expect this is where the staff really wants to see a good result.
No question. And that's why it's nice to play the Rangers again. I mean, you should be really annoyed at the way they beat you. And you know, there's a lot of teams right now that, you know, I know when you're in a market, you think you're the only one that can't find the magic formula. There's a lot of teams that can't find it right now. You know, we're watching around the league. I mean, there's teams that are struggling mightily. Calgary's one of them. And it doesn't help when you look around and see other teams that, you know, that we're supposed to do better that are struggling. It doesn't help at all, but it's a hard process right now for a lot of teams.
You mentioned Calgary. They lost 2-1 to Montreal last night. Jake Allen was outstanding in that game, and Sean Monahan assisted on both the Montreal goals in his first game back in Calgary. And I know the insiders were suggesting, or at least talking about the fact that maybe Monahan maybe have a longer-term future in Montreal. Given kind of where they're at in their competitive cycle, I know you do a lot of Montreal games. Would you think that's the right avenue to go down, or should they still be trying to get a little bit younger?
You know, I'm really happy the insiders agree with me, because I said this before the season started, that Monahan was going to have a good year, because everybody I talked to talked about his health in Calgary, and particularly with the hip thing, guys, and not feeling the freedom in skating. I'm looking at, he's only 3-4 years removed from 82 points. This is a really good player. And coming into the year, he was 27 years old. He's since turned 28. And so if I'm evaluating that grouping of players for me, you know, with years left on their contract, and Josh Anderson's in the group, Yoel Armia is in the group, and Kristen Dvorak could be in that group. And I'm saying, okay, where do you put Monahan up against those guys? And of that group, I really like Sean Monahan. I like his versatility. I like his strength on faceoffs. I like his even keelness. He's got a personality that doesn't overly emote, but I say that in a good way with young guys. And so I brought that to the table before the year started, before I saw a single game. I said, this is going to be a player to watch because of the price they got him at, which is, by the way, not only free, but you got a first rounder to take his money. And it's a conditional first rounder, but they're getting the pick. It just depends on what Florida does, I think, and, you know, where Calgary ends up and a bunch of different factors, but they're getting the pick. And now you get a player, and that's an excellent job. That's one of the best jobs of taking a contract that we've seen in terms of the way it's worked out. Now, there was a health factor involved, and you didn't know exactly how it was going to turn out, but he is healthy and skating again. And you know, and even to hear Daryl Sutter talk about him yesterday going back into Calgary, he knows he misses him in the locker room, and he knows he didn't have him at full strength, but he had him. So I think it's going to be a really interesting decision. I don't think that 28 is out of the realm of what Montreal's doing. And, you know, and his mileage has been a little lower the last couple of years because of injury, but now he's back and he's healthy. So, I mean, Suzuki's 23, and, you know, you've got some other guys in that range. I don't think 28's unreasonable at all, JR.
And to that, Pooley, he has not been a good playoff performer. In some ways, is he almost a better fit for a rebuild than necessarily a contending team?
It could be. You know, and people will look at that, and, you know, because Calgary hasn't had huge success in the playoffs, and they'll say, okay, what was the factor? You know, how does Gaudreau tie into that? How do those other guys tie into it? Was it just Monahan? But, you know, as you build, having those key guys in the lineup it's a significant factor, and they're going to have an interesting decision to make. He's put himself, as you always like, the player has put himself in a strong position, and that's what you hope for.
In any way whatsoever, did you see Jason Robertson doing what he's doing so far, which is leading the NHL in goals at 22, especially coming off when he wasn't even at almost all the entire training camp because he didn't have a contract with Dallas at that point. And I guess in addition to that, is he going to be able, not necessarily at the same pace, but is he going to be able to potentially win the Rocket Richard Trophy?
He absolutely is going to be a contender for it. And I just... You know, I talk about seats a lot on a hockey club, and he's in a great seat right now. And, you know, he's, I didn't know as much about him. You know, you followed him and you saw him and you said, okay, there's some talent here. And he got 17 the 1 year. And then the explosion last year, he took advantage of the fact that Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin had terrible years last year. And so, you know, all of a sudden he comes out of absolutely nowhere. He's given the opportunity. He's playing with some good players. And you say, well, where did this kid come from? And, you know, how did he get 41? And is it real? And, you know, by the length of his holdout, they were asking themselves the same question, guys. They were saying, you know, is this real? Is this gonna continue? What's gonna happen? And, you know, he took advantage last year. Now Ben has come back and is having a good year, and you know, and back to where he looked like Jamie Benn of old, and that's only helped Jason Robertson, because now you got another guy to worry about up front. But there's some good players there that you don't know a lot about. Rupe Hintz is a guy you don't know a lot about. Pavelski, we do know a lot about. He's playing with good guys. He's in a perfect situation. Everything I see is real. You know, and you look with surprise, like each night, you're like, oh, he's got a goal. And then you're like, oh, he's got two goals. He's still going. He's still ticking. So, you know, Dallas is, they're a good hockey club, guys, and they're the beneficiary, too, of going from good coach to good coach. And we've talked about that, the layers of coaching. We've talked about it in Boston. We've talked about it in Vegas. When a young player in particular gets a couple of good coaches and different assistants in a row, he can benefit as an individual. It looks like, for all the reasons, Jason Robertson's benefiting from that.
Pretty cool how DeBoer to Bonus, almost Montgomery to Cassidy, how that's all worked out. And
all
also,
the way around.
Yeah,
it's worked out all the way around.
It really has. All good coaches, and yeah, sometimes a change. Back to the market you're in right now, Pooley. Is there full recognition that this is a full rebuild in Philadelphia? And if not, or if so, and what's the mood in Philadelphia?
Well, I thought there was when I got tapped on the shoulder to take a face-off in a third period swimmer. I didn't think I was having that good a night, but they wanted me to go out and take a defensive zone face-off. I think there's a lot of questions being asked.
Yeah.
You know, there just are. And I think John Tortorella is actually trying to calm things a little bit and say this is going to take longer. Because when he was hired, everybody thought, okay, there's no way Torts has taken the job unless they promised him they're going right now, because there's no way he would tolerate any sort of a rebuild or a retool or anything else. But I think he's realistic about what he's got on the ice. And, you know, and the pieces he's got off, everybody can point to injuries, to key injuries. It doesn't look like Ryan Ellis is going to be a factor for, if at all. Couturier, same thing. And so you've lost some players, but everybody has injuries. They don't have a lot in the pipeline. They know that. And I think the realization is coming to bear. And the other factor, guys, the other teams in town, the Phillies and the Eagles specifically, the Phillies had a great year and the Eagles are winning. So it magnifies because all the stadiums are right in the same area. So you can see the competition that goes on right within your own town. And you know, the Philly fans, they're a little bit at a crossroads right now as an organization between, you know, and I actually spoke to some of them in the office yesterday about the challenge they have of what's behind them and what's ahead. And, you know, they've got to look and see, you know, where this is going in the future. And we all knew it was going to change when Mr. Snyder passed away. We just did. He had one owner of the team for 47, 46 years. And he was the franchise. He was the identity. He was the face. He made it go. Now, he came and went in his own personal life and the team reflected it. But that identity that they built was so unique, and they've got to figure out how to use it.
We have been and are still living through a rebuild here in Ottawa that is now into its sixth season. It's long and it's hard. I think it, while hard, it's maybe a little bit easier in a hockey market to kind of sell it as long as it's done properly and executed and you do emerge from the other side. Philadelphia is a different market. You just pointed out the other, you know, a couple of other professional teams there are really good. Would Philadelphia tolerate a complete rebuild on the hockey side?
I believe they would. I believe it's from the way you package it, and you might look no further than just up the road with the New York Rangers. When Jeff Gorton, you know, and his John Davidson sent that letter out, and that was only 2018, guys, and said, this is what's happening, and talk about a market with low tolerance for anything in New York. But you've got to avoid apathy. You have to keep the interest level. So I think if it handled in the right manner, I absolutely think they could handle it.
And to that, Pooley, in today's sports world, whether it's painful or not, do you really have any other choice? Like, you know, if you want to build a good hockey team, there is no such thing as going out and signing a bunch of free agents and buying it anymore.
There isn't. And, you know, and you can't go the veteran mode, the total veteran mode, because of the cost factor in that. And you got to see, you know, I mean, where the franchise is going. I don't think you've got to have some star power. And, you know, when you ask me about who the favorites are in the NHL, the one hesitancy I have with Carolina, guys, is who's the superstar. And if you look back, I guess you could say St. Louis is the one team that won a cup without true superstars. But, you know, they had really good players, but they didn't have that superstar. Everybody else has had superstars in recent years, and you've got it. Where are you going to get the superstars? You know, you're not finding those guys in deals, you're getting those guys in the draft.
Well, the good news for Philadelphia is if they continue to play as poorly as they are right now, they're going to get a really good pick in what's said to be a really high-end draft at the top end of it. So we'll see perhaps as soon as this season that superstar that you talked about. All right, good stuff. Glad to hear the voice is a little bit better after a full weekend of recovery. We'll expect you in full voice again on Monday. Appreciate the time as always and enjoy the weekend.
Have a great weekend, guys. Thanks.
We got the Sens Rangers for you tonight. 5 o'clock pregame, 7 o'clock faceoff. Dean and Gord at MSG. Tomorrow night, Erik Karlsson and the Sharks are here also for a 7 o'clock faceoff from Canadian Tire Center. By the way, 67s of a pair of home games this weekend, including tonight, taking on the Flint Firebirds. You can stream that game at tsn1200.ca, and then CFRA will pick up the coverage at 8 o'clock. Gatineau also home tonight. I got to get over to the Slush Puppy Center. I have not been to a game there.
Oh,
heard it's a beautiful rink.
Yeah, I haven't either.
So got to get over there for a game soon.
Yeah,
too.
Maybe visit with Derek Brassard, the owner. And there's a few places in the world I don't want to be, JR. And one of them was when I went to the IHL at the end of my junior career for a couple of weeks, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and had the opportunity to visit beautiful spots like Flint, Kalamazoo, and Saginaw, of which I never hope I will return again. So I just want to get that out of my way when you mentioned the Flint name.
Okay, all right.
And also want to go back to a couple of things on Pooley. First of all, I know, and I have lived this firsthand. If you work for the Leafs and you fail, you're never good at anything in your life again. And I know a lot of people, when you mention Pooley's name, it's like, I tell you what, the Philadelphia Flyers, like, I'd be a little shocked if they're not at least kicking the tires asking Pooley, would you like to rejoin the franchise in the front office? And I think eventually Daniel Briere will come over as general manager, but something's got to change there. And it's funny when you look back to the Rangers and the rebuild, I guess, and I said this because you can't really do it. Well, the Rangers, I don't know if they've really gone through a rebuild in the sense of the traditional way, JR. When you look at Zibanejad, you look at Panarin, you look at Trouba, and you look at Fox, that's kind of the core of their team outside of Kreider and Shesterkin, right? Mm. Like, I guess my point being, that's not normal to happen.
That was a retool. Well, and they got gifted Fox and Panarin in particular.
And Zibanejad. but it's a trade. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, it's not, you know, it's not your traditional model. Like, obviously, this whole Fox. Did you realize, like, did Calgary realize how good this guy was, JR? Like, I knew people talked about him highly. But did anybody think he was going to win the Norris Trophy this?
Well, when
his
he
career?
Was drafted in the third round, I remember a few of the you know, so-called draft experts were saying, "Oh, that's a really good pick in that spot." Yeah. But again, he lasted until I believe like the 66th pick.
Yeah.
65 different choices went ahead of Adam Fox. So
was it all based on size or?
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure. But yeah, I think pretty quickly once he started to play, and he played at Harvard, right?
Yeah.
I think people realized pretty quickly this guy's got something.
Yeah.
But he mandated he was only going to play for the Rangers, and he eventually took a couple other organizations, but eventually he got what he wanted.
Yeah, it is amazing. And also, a little bells go off. It's funny because, again, I wasn't even part of the show, but I remember Pierre Maguire, the two names that he brought up, and I give credit because a long time before a lot of them were talked about, one was Josh Anderson, who, well, there's an argument there, but I had never really heard anything about Rupe Hintz, and that must have been when Dallas, I'm assuming, lost to St. Louis in the playoffs? That was kind of his coming out party, was it not, Jer? Like, the Rupe Hintz's name, and I just remember Pierre Maguire talking about him and saying, hey, you know, keep an eye on this guy, and then you saw him, you're like, man, this guy's a big rig too, eh?
Yeah, 37 goals last year.
Which was
a bit, and now he's just, got the big fat new contract, good, real, real good hockey player. Very much so. All right. So thanks again to Dave Poulin for joining us. Mm-hmm. Lots of hockey straight ahead. So we'll play Sense and Sensibility. You got to pick somebody out. You ready to go with the phone call in a couple minutes, Hammer? Okay, we're ready to go there. Bills, did you watch my Pats last night, Simmer? They got schooled by the Bills.
Yeah.
Like, that is such a, you know, the Patriots had their way with the AFC East for, a couple of decades pretty much. But, it has flipped 180 degrees. Yeah. Like, there is such a separation starting at quarterback, but such a separation in talent level in those two teams now, it's like it's completely flipped.
I consider you guys to be my friends, so can I be honest with you about something?
You forgot there was a game last night?
I haven't watched any of the passes here.
What?
I've been following the Buccaneers.
Oh, my God. But Mac, my boy Mac.
Oh, man, I just don't feel it, Hammer. I've heard
Mbappe.
I've heard rumors that the TB might come back, and I'm kind of excited, I guess Bucks are my team right now.
My Bucks.
They're not very good either.
No, they're not.
I think you've thrown your lot behind the wrong team.
I agree. That Cleveland loss, it just was not a good feeling at all, JR, but To the point, absolutely. And I guess from a Pat standpoint, you know, in your recognition, in a lot of years of not very good drafting, JR, like, I think it's a legitimate question of, are they going to be able to get out of the basement of their division the next few years, right? I don't think the Dolphins are going anywhere anytime soon, and the Jets appear to be on the right track as well.
Well, except the Jets don't have – it looked like they've struck out again at
That's
quarterback.
That's true. Good
so
point. Good
you
point.
Don't have
yeah,
a quarterback.
Yeah,
you don't
yeah.
have a long-term solution. But, yeah. you know, like 2 weeks ago, if I had asked, you know, the average – and I know there's a lot of Patriot fans still kind of hanging on with hopes and dreams and hoping the hoodie finds a solution, yeah, but they had yeah. won 3 games in a row at that point, and it's like, okay, they're kind of making something yeah. here, and now they've lost the last two. And again, last night was one of those very dispiriting games yeah. where the opposition is just having their way with in this case your team, yeah. right? And there's nothing worse as if you're a football fan yeah. than having the other team, you know, like, well, you know, run it down your throat, just doing whatever yeah. they would like to. And that's, even though 24-10 doesn't sound like a bad scoreline, it was a one-sided football.
Well, game. And that was part of what, and for the bandwagon fan in me, kind of held my hat, hung my hat on for a long time, JR, was the classic situational football. It was the hoodie within the division. It was the games at home. It was all this stuff where you felt like in a one and done, well, he's going to find a way. And that's not the case. And it is also, I guess, from that market is, you know, it's a tough sports market anyway for all the winning they've had. But you talk about becoming anonymous, right? Like, this is almost, well, totally what it felt like before Tom Brady became a star.
For sure. They're lacking in star power.
Yeah, big time. Big time.
Unfortunately. All right. So there are some good games coming up on Sunday, just in terms of good teams against good teams. Some of the highlight, and not just because it's Eagles, but Titans-Eagles. That should be a very good game. Even Commanders Giants. I mean, that's two teams maybe fighting for one. I mean, right now they're both in a playoff position, but potentially one could get knocked out. So Commanders Giants, that's a competitive game coming up. Jets Vikings. Jets are still, yeah, I mean, they're 7-4 somehow, some way, and the Vikings are 9-2. So that's a good game. Dolphins Niners should be a great game, 4:30 on Sunday. We'll have the Chiefs Bengals game. That's a rematch of the AFC Championship game from last year, so that should be good. Even Colts Cowboys. I don't know. Colts have played some teams tough the last couple of weeks, so we'll see. But the Cowboys are at home and they're playing some good football now as well. I think there's going to be some interest. Normally, I would say people would not be interested in the Browns Texans game. In Houston, but I think there's a little bit of interest because this is the game in which Deshaun Watson comes back from his 11-game suspension. And, oh, wow, what a coincidence. He's playing against his old team in his first game back in his in the city that he used to play as well. Wow, it's just amazing how his suspension ended up in the schedule, worked out the way that it did. NFL never misses a beat. Here is Deshaun Watson. Speaking for the first time to the media yesterday, coming off the suspension, only talking football.
I understand that you guys have, you know, a lot of questions, but with my legal team and my clinical team, there's only football questions that I can really address at this time.
His legal team and his what team?
Clinical.
His clinical team.
But with my legal team and my clinical team.
His clinical team. Okay. All right.
He's not. Because
What's
he,
that?
Because he had such an issue with massage therapists.
His medical
he's
clinical
not,
team?
He's not allowed to call it a therapist.
good point.
And to the point, though, Jerry, I understand where this has went, but I don't feel like this is some marketing genius by the National Football League. I actually think it's the complete opposite. I don't think there's a person on the planet cheering for him or the Browns other than Browns fans. And the fact that it's in Houston and a lot of the women apparently are showing up to the game, I don't know. I don't know why. Like, I would have zero interest to tune into this person.
Well, me too, but I think I do believe that it does add to the intrigue, the fact that
you
he's
think
going.
So, eh?
Oh, yeah. Well, he's going to get, he's going to get loudly booed.
Yeah, I guess it
does bring something to that game that normally most people would ignore it.
I guess because the way you use the word intrigue, the intrigue is nothing but negative. Like, God, this, and again, I guess the rest of the season, the rest of his career, but if I ever just wanted this thing to go away,
well,
this isn't really the way I want it. That's all.
As a human being, he's obviously a very despicable character.
Yeah.
There's no disputing that. The intrigue is born, you know, for me, we're talking purely from a football perspective, and I understand it's a way bigger story than that.
Yeah.
But from a purely, I am interested to see how a guy who hasn't played a football game in essentially because he sat out the entire year last year.
That's true.
Has not played in the first 11 games this year, so hasn't played in almost two calendar years, is going to get out there and be slinging the football around on Sunday, and how's he going to be? What kind of player is he going to be?
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, part of me thinks, other than the game itself, he's in his athletic prime. I don't think it'll take long. I guess the other part, are they 4-7 right now, Jer?
Yeah, they're out of it.
It's kind of interesting that, first of all, they come off their biggest win in beating Tom Brady, and Tampa, but if they're if they end up going 6-0, Jer, would they have an opportunity to make the playoffs at 10-7? I assume so, right?
Oh yeah, 10-7 put you in the mix. But I guess there's nothing to suggest they're going to go 6-0.
That's true. I guess of the National Football League, the one thing I don't want to happen is this guy comes back and all of a sudden they actually get on a roll too, right?
Well, they left him in position. Could have suspended him for the entire year.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, again, Zimmer. They suspended him for 11 games.
Yeah, no, I know.
And
I know.
In the 12th game he's playing against is you. Yeah. You think that's just coincidence?
No, I don't think it's coincidence at all. Like, I wonder if they're actually trying to make, they're trying to make him feel even worse or in a way face the music here. Oh. I guess that's what I almost look
NFL
at.
NFL is only interested in dollars and cents and eyeballs. Okay. That's what it's interested in. Okay, 8:55. We got the music. Let's do it. All right, we're playing Sense and Sensibility on this Friday morning. Our contestant this morning is Justin. How are you doing this morning, Justin?
Excellent, gentlemen. How are you?
Excellent, thanks. What do you got planned for the weekend? Anything exciting?
No, I was in Windsor for a wedding last weekend, so I'm just focusing on working out and just taking it easy.
Well, focusing on working out. Wow. Okay. All right.
Sounds like a little time at Jason's, maybe?
No. Just going to be at home flexing and watching a bit of that.
I meant in Windsor.
No. That's what I used to do back in the day.
Okay. All right. Okay, Justin, here's what you're doing. You're playing for a pair of 100-level seats to see the Sens take on the Anaheim Ducks. This game is Monday, December the 12th, so in about 10 days or so from now. And here's what you need to do. I got five questions for you. You need to, it's an either or. You want to choose the answer that will result in the higher number, all right? The higher number of the two options given to you. And you need to get one more right than either Simmer or Hammer, and you're on your way to the game, okay?
Got it.
Okay, all right, good. I'm going to let you go last so you can strategize if you want to. Hammer, you get to go first this time.
Do it.
All right.
Hammer's rolling, so yeah, you should follow
Hammer. Hammer and our contestant Quinton put the boots to you, Simmer.
Big
you were,
time.
Your first one back from holiday on Wednesday. You were terrible.
Yeah, a little slow. Still in on Dominican time.
All right. Here we go. Number one of five. Total goals in the four World Cup games that are being held today, or the total shots between Brady Tkachuk and Tim Stützle in tonight's game. So total goals in the four World Cup games or total shots by Tkachuk and Stützle?
I'm going total shots. I'm liking what Dave Poulin had to say about them playing annoyed tonight. They're going after the Rangers.
Okay, Simmer.
You know what? I got to go against Hammer, but I think they'll be shooting the puck a whole lot more, especially from the slot. But I'll still go with the soccer. I think we're going to average about 3 goals per game, which by calculation is 12.
Okay. Justin.
I'm going to roll with the World Cup. I think Brazil is going to slaughter Cameroon.
Okay, there we go.
Nice call.
Okay, got actually some reasoning behind it. Okay, number two, total shots in tonight's Sens-Rangers game. Both teams, total shots, or Corey Connors' second-round score at the Par 72 Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas.
As the season starts, oh, this is
tight. He shot 75 yesterday. All right, so total shots in the Sens-Rangers game or Corey Connors' second-round score today at the Hero World Challenge. Hammer.
So here you're kind of – if you pick Corey Connors, a Canadian, you're picking him to do poorly kind of because you want the higher shot count.
Yeah.
I'm still going Connors. I'll still go Connors.
All right.
Yeah, I think the ice hockey match will average about 63 shots, and I think Corey's going to have a big round in the 60s, but it'll be higher than that, so I'll go golf as well.
Okay, Justin, you going with the boys, or are you going with the shots in the Rangers game?
Well, I love how you're throwing in golf right now in the middle of December.
I got to. I got to, friend. I have to.
Did you know JR had a hole-in-one this year?
I did. I saw everything.
I'm surprised
you didn't get a key to the city yet.
Yeah, it's coming. It's got to be coming. Sorry, what did you choose?
I'm going to choose the opposite. I'm going to choose the shots on net.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number three, Erik Karlsson points plus shots in tomorrow night's Sens Sharks game. Erik Karlsson points plus shots or Deshaun Watson's rushing attempts versus Houston on Sunday. So Carlson points plus shots or Deshaun Watson rushing attempts?
Boy, I think he's going to have to count on his feet because I don't think the arm or accuracy is going to be there. Give me Deshaun Watson.
All right, Simmer.
I think he's going to be running from everybody, including the police, so I'll take Deshaun Watson.
That's sound reasoning. Okay, Justin, you going with the boys or you going on your own?
No, I am definitely picking Carlson. I used to cook at Pure Kitchen. He used to come there for a regular lunch, so I think he's going to light up the Suns.
Oh, wow, nice. A little meal at Pure Kitchen. Are you at the one in Centrum?
I used to be the one at Westboro, and that's where he proposed to his girlfriend, fiance.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
There we go. Good intel
to make him his dumplings. He loved the dumplings there.
Oh, okay. All right, now we know. All right, number four, up five. Goals by England versus Senegal in tomorrow's knockout or Sunday's knockout stage game, or Thomas Chabot plus Jake Sanderson points in tonight's game. So goals by England or Chabot plus Sanderson points tonight.
Man, I don't usually go against soccer, but here I am going against the old footy. I'm going with Chabot and Sanderson.
All right. Simmer.
I got to make it interesting, although I do think Shabby is going to have a big night. I'll take the soccer.
Okay. Justin.
Ooh, I think that's a tough one. Senegal's pretty good. I'm going to go with I'm still going to go with England, though.
I'm
a footy fan, so.
There you go. Okay. All right. Number five. Longest field goal in the Colts-Cowboys Sunday night game? Longest field goal or Shane Pinto's face-off percentage versus the Sharks tomorrow night? So, longest field goal in the Sunday night game, Cowboys and Colts, Shane Pinto face-off percentage tomorrow night.
Didn't our boy Brett Maher hit from 60 this season already?
The reason the question may have been asked. There's method to my, you know what, guys? Yeah, there's method to my madness. I'm more than a
not
pretty
willy
face.
Willy nilly?
More than a pretty
that's
face Chair's on the radio.
That's favorite kicker, so he knows.
That's right. How do you assess kickers?
How do you assess kickers?
Besides making kicks, of course.
Exactly.
Just the look.
What are you taking?
I'm taking the field goal.
Field goal? All right. That assumes that there is one. And if there is no field goal, the answer is zero, just to clarify that. All right, Simmer.
Yeah, another one could go either way, but I'll go Pinto. I think he's going to be strong on the draws at home.
Couldn't you really honestly say it could go either way on all of those? Isn't this the idea
well,
of the
yeah,
way I
yeah,
do the question?
Yeah, no, but I'm also just trying to choose against Hammer
okay.
to give our contestant
you're
the opportunity.
You're trying to choose against me, but then also make a reason for my pick, so then when if or you lose, it's like, well, I did want to go Hamer's way, but I couldn't.
Could I interrupt and ask Justin what his answer is? Okay, Justin, longest field goal, Shane Pinto face-off percentage tomorrow.
I don't know much about Shane Pinto's face-off percentage, so I'm going to go with the field goal. I'm going to go with the Lee Versage's boys, the Cowboys, to hit.
Wow, a rare Lee Versage shout-out. There we go. Curiously enough, Justin picked the two options, the first one on all five. It's curious just to me as I look at my sheet this morning. Anyway, Justin, I got it all marked down for you. We'll do up the math for you on Monday, and hopefully you'll be heading to the Sens-Ducks game a week from Monday. And thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
You too. Take it easy, boys. Ciao.
There he goes. Justin, he'll be flexing. Flexing all weekend, coming back from Windsor in that big wedding.
Did you say Ducks and Sens on a Monday?
Yes.
Oh.
Why?
No, I...
You're not assigned to cover that game.
Well, I've already told you I don't attend ice hockey matches Sunday through Thursday. So that will certainly not be on my schedule.
All right, just past 9 o'clock. We'll take a break when we come back next hour. More on the Sens and Rangers. More your wrenches on this Wrench Throwing Friday. We'll again go through Canada's performance at the World Cup. That's the focus of our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question as well. So we go through that and the day ahead and the weekend ahead at the World Cup as we're getting down to the somewhat short stroke. So we'll have that. And when we return, we're going to talk a little NCAA football. Christian Veilleux, quarterback from Ottawa, went to prep school down in the States, landed at Penn State, is going to be changing school. So we're going to kind of go through his experience at Penn State and what he's hoping to accomplish with his next move. But Christian is going to join us coming up in about 10, 15 minutes from now on this Sens Game Day Friday. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.